Good morning. Again, on behalf of my wife, it is wonderful to be here and just even to continue this fellowship that we've enjoyed even this last hour, being in the presence of the Lord. Turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 1:9. Just going to continue what we've been looking at this morning in the Sunday school time and then practicing in communion with the Lord this past hour so that everything's going to dovetail from 9:45 to when we end today. The Bible is quite simple that way. There's really one word sums up the Bible, and that's Jesus. If we want to enlarge that a little bit, we can say the Lord Jesus Christ. And a second word that ties into that would be, of course, his cross. And then a third, we have, of course, us, the body of Christ, the church. So we have Christ's cross and his church, and that's Genesis to Revelation. And even when we were in Leviticus 7 this morning, we covered all three of those areas quite thoroughly. The offering of peace, referring to the fellowship and the church and the body life and the blood and the various offerings, seeing Christ, of course, and his offering on the cross. So in one sense, the Lord has made us his gospel for children, simple people. I'm very thankful of that, being a farm boy myself, that by the Holy Spirit, all of us can understand. Many of you have come to know the Lord when you were very, very small. Some of the wisest men in the world cannot comprehend one word of the mystery of this book. But God is made it possible for those who humble themselves, who bow the knee to understand the great mystery of Christ, of the cross, of his church, and it can be not only known but experienced daily. Let's just read that verse there in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then over in 1 John 1, referring again to this wonderful word in the Bible, fellowship, communion with the Lord, one with the Lord. First John 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen, bear witness, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's just have a further word of prayer. Father, we're thankful again for your word. Lord, commands us to forsake not the assembly of together. But Lord, in your grace and mercy, you've gathered us this morning around your table where we could remember thee. The most important thing we've done all week, the most important thing that we will do in this coming week is to be in your presence, communing with thee. And we're thankful, Father, to be able to do that corporately this morning, to be encouraged, to encourage one another, to have our feet washed, to wash one another's feet as scripture was read, songs were sung, and prayers were given. Lord, we all are lifted up from this earth, and we're thankful for that. Now may your word lift us up out of ourselves, out from this earth, and into the heavenlies, Lord, into the realm where we can commune with thee. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we all know that we were created to be in fellowship with God. If I was to diagram on the whiteboard up here, I would put a circle, and I would just say all roads lead to, not Rome, but to fellowship. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, God leads us and shows us and demonstrates through people, through objects, through symbols, through figures, this one thing that is on his heart. He loves fellowship. He loves communion with man. We were created for that reason. And all roads do lead in the Bible to that particular point. If we take any particular subject, just even the subject of salvation, redemption, regeneration, conversion, regeneration, sanctification, these are not subjects in themselves. Isolated things, there's a purpose. There's an end. And everything to do with the whole redemption of man brings us in to this circle, this inner circle with the Lord. It becomes the secret to life, living and abiding in the presence of the Lord. In Genesis 1, we know that man was created in the image of God. God is spirit. And different than any of the animals in the fish kingdom or in the bird kingdom, man is this tripartite. He has a spirit, which nothing in the animal kingdom has. And God said, I will make man in my likeness so that he can have this communion with him moment by moment. It's a wonderful thought that God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and God works in these three spheres of creation and redemption and judgment. In these spheres, everything centers in his mind and in his intention is to bring us to that place of oneness with him. God said there in Genesis 2, it is not good for man to live alone. And he gave us there a symbol in marriage, a figure of what was on his heart. That here was the man, and he says it's not good for man to be alone. Man needs communion. He reveals his heart right there at the beginning, in the outside of the scripture, of what was precious, what he wanted to eventually come to, and we'll see that in the New Jerusalem, where he will be in the center, Christ will be the lamp, and we will commune with the Lord forever and ever. There are many examples of men, women, who lived in this unique place of oneness with God. We can start even with the man and the woman. When God would come down in the cool of the evening, it was for that purpose of fellowship. And we see the intention on God's heart right there. Of course, man failed, but God's plan was not foiled. He, of course, he began his redemptive work to bring back man to that origin, that original thought of a lover for his son. And you and I, of course, are that. Abel saw this. He saw what God wanted. He saw, as we saw so clearly this morning in Leviticus 7, he was incapable. He was incapable of, in himself, of moving into that relationship that God wanted. But he understood it. He learned it, obviously, from his parents, what God wanted, and he wanted that. Whereas Cain thought that he and himself could come in. Enoch walked with God in such a way, and for those 300 years, from age 65 to 365, such a way that God took him. He was no more. He had come to that place where he and God's heart were one. And I'm reminded of something that Watchman Nee once said, that even when we die, it's like moving from one room to another. And another brother has said, there should not be any great change, even in our own life, when we die. We're living and abiding in the presence of the Lord, and we are with the Lord. And there is that movement. We're at rest here. We've been enjoying fellowship with him continuously, and we go forward. Noah, whose name means rest, which is a very important word in the Bible. It's another one of those beautiful golden threads. Rest, because God begins this process of oneness with him in rest. When there is any agitation with us, it's very difficult to have communion with the Lord. When we're unholy, it's difficult, it's impossible to have a fellowship with a holy God. But Noah came into that rest, and we see there at approximately 600 years, which is a beautiful picture, even that number of spiritual perfection. And at that age, he began to build that ark, which was, as was prayed around the Lord's table this morning, that place of rest. And in that rest, we see the communion that Noah had, and he had to have. When you think of being the only person on the face of the earth who is sane, who is not living in vanity, everything else was corrupt. Everything else was wicked. And it's always encouragement to me because God puts us in an environment that has, well, first of all, we're in the world. And it is evil. And it is frustrating. And there is unfairness. And there is confusion. And there is discord. And it can be very frustrating. But in that environment, by the Spirit upon Noah, he rested and did his work those 100 years. And then the Lord revealed to him, shut the door, I am with you. And he was saved. Abraham was a friend of God, and as a result, we cannot think of the word friend, and we sang that song this morning, what a friend we have in Jesus. That entire song connotes in Abraham's life of oneness. He was a person who, first of all, heard from God in Ur of the Chaldees. He responded to God, and the rest of his life in enemy territory, all throughout Canaan, there is, again, this walking with God. Hand in hand, this continual communion. Now, the reason I am emphasizing this and even bringing up this subject this morning, and I think all of us have been to some retreat, some conference. Years ago, I met a lot of you, first of all, in the late 80s in Westmont. And then, 2000, later on, 2010, but Twin Peaks, different retreats, the Memorial Day retreat. All, I think I could say almost very confidently that you've all had this experience. When the retreat is over, and as we say at Twin Peaks, we really don't want to go down off the mountain. Or we'll say, Lord, as we pray in our group that morning, we need grace as we go down the mountain. I've been going to conferences for a long time, many conferences and retreat. And my personal experience is at about Wednesday, the glow begins to leave. The world begins to inundate. Family, work, the pressures of life. And then it becomes kind of a very meager existence. It's kind of, as we studied this morning, it's kind of like eating three-day-old bread. It's the freshness, the spontaneity is not there. And as we look carefully at these men and women in the Bible that we're just going to briefly mention, we see that there was an intimacy with the Lord. And if I may say this, it was like it was 24/7. Now we know whether it was Abraham, whether it was Moses, this didn't happen overnight. Moses was ready to serve the Lord at age 40. But God knew he was not there. There was just way too much of Moses. And that had to be changed by setting him aside where he learned not to even open his mouth unless the Lord put the words in his mouth. When we look at Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, Elisha, we often put them in another sphere. They are mentioned in the Bible. There's the good news for every one of us. We are to come into that. We have, particularly now in the age that we live, we have the Holy Spirit. And I love that little verse, the three words in John 11, 23a. I in them, Jesus said. That's incredible. I in them. He has come in. And that's what those men and women experienced in the Bible. They came into that place. Maybe Abraham was about 100 years old, but he came into it. Jacob, over 100 years. He came to that place. Am I to go down to Egypt? No longer was there that ambition of himself. He inquired of the Lord. And of course, that secret of David's. Let's just read it. 2 Samuel. Because it really, if I was to take an Old Testament passage and just summarize what I would like to say this morning, it's here in these four verses. 2 Samuel 2, in the first four verses. 2 Samuel 2, verse 1. Then it came about afterwards that David inquired. This is communion. This is talking with God. This is fellowship. This is what David is known for. This is why God could make this declaration of this horrendous sinner. He's a man after my own heart. Because David kept coming back, If he had to come back 100 times a day, and he's going to come to the Lord twice right here. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to one of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said, go up. So David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron, fellowship. So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David brought up his men who were with him, each with his household, and they lived in the cities of Hebron, fellowship. Then the men of Judah came, and there anointed David king over the house of Judah. And we see the end of everything that God wants from us is this enthroning him. When we get to the New Testament, of course, Jesus communing, fellowshipping, morning, noon, and night with his son, with his disciples. Again, giving us that picture. And of course, the apostles, Peter came into it, the apostle Paul, of walking with the Lord. Walking in the Spirit. When we're walking in the Spirit, there is no separation from God. The Spirit is God. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of God. God indwelling us. Israel is a classic example of what God wanted when he said, I want you to leave Egypt to come out and to fellowship with me. I want to fellowship with you, you and me. And the tabernacle was built for that purpose, to demonstrate that, where God was in the middle of it. And different now than then, then one man was to go into the Holy of Holies. Today, brothers and sisters, we're to live there. This is where we wake up in the morning, and as before we even get out of bed, there's that consecration. Lord, This is the day. This is the first day of the week. And that includes Monday and the next. You've made this day for yourself. What do you want? What does God want more than anything else tomorrow morning and tomorrow? Even when we're on the job, is this communion, this oneness, this speaking to Him, ejaculating these prayers, Lord, thank you for this. Lord, I'm getting on the highway. Lord, go before. We arrive. Thank you. There is this constant communion. Israel failed in this area. The very purpose they were called out there, they murmured. We also spend much of our life murmuring, which separates. The Lord ends up outside the door, knocking on our heart, when all the time He wants to sup. He wants to be in the inner us to be in the inner chamber all the time, in this secluded, hidden place with Him. All roads lead to that one thing on God's heart. The teachings in the Bible, the doctrines, the prophecies, all lead to this one thing. They're not isolated. It's very easy to get caught up on a teaching. I was very thankful this morning in our Bible study here. First of all, I just started out with asking the Lord to meet Him, life. And that hour was an encouragement as each one encouraged one another to come into fellowship, come into oneness with Christ. We fall into an ecclesiastical mentality, a sort of religious mentality very easy. Fellowship is Sunday morning. It is Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. That's the 2 hours. The Lord never meant that. And the secret to every man and woman, whether it's in the Bible, and you can go right through, to, whether it's John Wesley, right up to this day, the secret is those, and that includes all of us, can be, who have this intimacy with the Lord at all time, every minute. We take subjects like the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, the indwelling Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, wonderful things. And we get all excited about it. If that does not take us into the presence of the Lord, that's what the Holy Spirit came to do, is to conform us into His image. And where does that go? So we can talk with Him. So we can hear from Him. So we have this oneness with our Father, walking with Him moment by moment. Rapture, second coming, these things can become, again, doctrines. They can become stimulating, titillating subjects. If they do not cause us to say, Lord, I want to be with You, even personally, be praying for His return, then they have no merit. Everything is to bring us to that center. And even when we get to the end of the Bible, we come into things like the New Jerusalem, the summing up, where God and man will be together, and where there will be this continual communion satisfying the Lord's heart. There is nothing that satisfies the Lord's heart more. One of the things I think a lot of us originally grew up where to be born again was the answer. And you just add maybe one thing to that, and that's going to heaven. But the purpose of God is not realized fully in that. That's the beginning, but God wants to bring us in. Well, of course, when there is such a wonderful thought, fellowshipping with God, there is opposition. There is horrendous opposition to fellowship. Satan hates fellowship. And we see it right there in the garden with Adam and Eve. We see it with Cain and Abel. We see it in the days of Noah. The enemy is working continuously to separate it. And we need to take this very serious, because the enemy is much stronger than us. And so there is absolutely no way we will ever come into what God intended if we just are in la-la land, if we just are waiting for God to do something. I'm just going away. If passivity steps in, it comes in. In our fellowship groups, we know sin separates us from God. Sickness separates us from God. Natural disasters separate. One of the reasons we pray midweek for Sunday is because we know all the things that will come up that will just prevent saints from gathering around the Lord's table. We have a small group of only five families there in Scottsdale. And there is always something coming up with one or two, even three families. The things that have happened since we've been meeting there in these last 4 years is really unbelievable. There is a fight that has to go on. And we'll get to that just in a moment. What time do we quit? Quarter after? Or 12? Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. Sin, sickness, death, these things always encroach anything to hinder, to prevent us from coming in. How many of you can really fellowship when you have a fever of 103, laying on your back, you're not having to work, you're not having to, how many of you have the ability to really fellowship with the Lord when you're in that condition? Maybe there might be an exception. I know myself, my temperature doesn't even have to be 99. I mean, I'm out. It doesn't take much. And he uses all of these things to break this communion with him. And we have to, of course, know that. In Song of Songs 2:15, we have that little verse, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Worry. What was it with the children of Israel? Murmuring. Complaining about Moses. Complaining about the food. All of these things quench the spirit. And that tripartite, that spirit that we have, it connects, it's on the same channel as God, it's quenched, it's grieved. Oh, the self-centeredness, self-interest, self-realization, these things all hinder this intimacy with the Lord. It can be so subtle. It can be my ministry. Thinking about speaking. Thinking about taking care of the children. Anything that comes in very, very subtly and becomes a barrier, becomes a wall between our Heavenly Father and ourselves. Oh, how these little foxes, not redeeming the time, can be such a waste and cause us to get separated. Our tongue, idle words. Oh, how, man, particularly today, we are exposed to the internet. We're exposed to huge mainframes of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that fill our mind with opinions, answers. Well, I read, I heard, I just saw pop up on the screen that this is what's happening. Man loves, and that's all of us, that's Adam in us, loves to be known, loves to say something of a consequence. Much of it's idle talk. Idle talk is one of those things, those little foxes that separate. Appetites. Our appetite is to be for the Lord. We have, the world tries to satisfy us, our appetites in many, many different ways. The world is absolutely total opposition to our having fellowship with the Lord. Whether it's the political world, whether it's the economical world, whether it's governments, whether it's the latest fashions. Fashions come in all kinds of color. It's not just clothing. It's automobiles. It's gadgets. It's everything. These things take time. But more seriously, they sever. We become curious. Our curiosity is pulled into that particular area. Culture can be part of the world system. Religion. And again, we were reminded of that by Gary this morning, that how religion is spawned by you and I, trying to find God in our own power, in our own strength, trying to please God, trying to receive approval from man, gain approval by man in some way. And this intimacy is broken. The good news is that God is always about recovering fellowship. Everything he does. And understanding this will help us not to even murmur so much. All the wars that are going on in this world right now, all the discord, terrorist attacks, and they're happening, of course, daily and many times more than once a day. The disease, the pestilence, the disharmony, right down to our own homes, the divorce, wish I was divorced, suffering from being divorced, wanting to get divorced, you name it. These things God is in the process of using these things to bring us into fellowship. There's no place to go. There's no safe place. The United States used to be a haven. Just 400 years ago, Christians came here for this place to be a haven. There is no haven here anymore. The Lord is using this. The Lord uses sickness. The Lord uses death to press us in. The Lord uses aging in a wonderful way. It's kind of the Lord's last opportunity to bring us to that place where we say, it's you, Lord, and I want to just spend the rest of my life communing with thee. And we're not talking about me and a monk. We're talking about carrying on, doing our chores in our home, taking care of children, teaching, workplace, in all these things that the Lord has ordained for us to do, at all times, we're talking to Him. There is this line of communication that is never closed. How does the Lord recover this fellowship? First of all, there has to be a desire. When we read the Word, and the Word shows us exactly what we've been talking about, that God wants, we admit to the Lord, we don't have it. We're spending a lot of downtime. This is what I'm telling the Lord right now. My mind can be blank. And nothing worse than a blank mind. Because the airways are filled with stuff. And we always have to be standing inside. There has to be that wall of separation. That wall that holds in God's holiness, holiness, and separates us from the unholiness of the world, the airways that are encroaching. So desire is, now, I'm not talking about being positive thinking alone. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about telling the Lord, I desire to be one who communes with Thee. Let Him do it. And as we say that, and as we form this habit, as there is this resolve in our heart, Lord, I want to live in the presence of God. I want to live in the Holy of Holies in the midst of my job, where all hell is breaking out, where there is unfairness. I want to live in Your presence there, close to Thee. Then there is that intentional, decided determination by God's will, willing our will in us. I love that word intentional. It's very easy to fall into that trap of, I'm just going to let God do it. If we preach, we could give a message tomorrow on, let God do it. It's a very important thing. But that does not mean that we are to be passive. We take that scripture that's mentioned many times in the Bible. Wait on the Lord. Okay, I'm just going to wait. Well, He's not doing anything. Our response, and God tells us to pray, we sang about it, is to take initiative, say, Lord, this is not right, this situation. And instead of, well, I'm just going to ignore the problems at work, or worse, I'm going to complain about them. Or we can intentionally say, Lord, this is, first of all, give me rest. That is a big thing. The Lord will often change our environment when we come to rest in it. Once we come into rest, now we can lay hold of that problem. Children, grandchildren, they are not following the Lord, have not seen what many of you have seen in the 60s and the 70s when there was that movement of the Holy Spirit. They just followed our footsteps, came up, but they've not seen. How is that going to be changed? By living in the presence of the Lord, husband and wife as one, and saying, Lord, You are the answer to this thing. Brothers and sisters, we do not fight this battle by glad-handing one another. It's okay, as Martin said, you know, to have a hug and hug each other. But the battle is spiritual. And it's going to be won spiritually. And by spiritual means, it is by this communion with the Lord where we say, Lord, this is Your ground. This is not Your intention. one of the people we are visiting while being here in L.A., a relative, is in a mental institution. And Alzheimer's, various types of senility. And thank the Lord for medication. But often, these things can be handled because there's a spiritual. When a person is perpetually angry at everything, that's a different spirit. Doesn't it remind you of the Gadarean legion? The Lord had to come in and say, no, this isn't heavenly. This isn't the Lord. And we get behind the issue, not dealing with it superficially. My brothers and sisters, this is a wonderful thought, but it comes with just being in communion. This isn't taking a course on how to cast out demons. This is just walking with the Lord, moment by moment. And as we walk with the Lord, then we're able to pray accordingly. Jesus tells us on how to come into fellowship with him in Revelation 3:20. Just open the door. Brothers and sisters, we need to open that door many, many times during the day. I'm just giving my testimony this morning because it's been so pressed on my heart. We can go for an hour. And he's outside the door. Some fear has come in. The door is closed. Open the door. I will come in and I will sup. I will have fellowship with you again. And the communion is open. Be still and know that I am Lord, is how he's going to recover this. The Lord has to still us. He often does that through illness and things. But in this day and age, where you can Google an answer to every problem there is, it's exactly the opposite of what God means by being still. And inquiring of the Lord, before we even take an aspirin. Lord. The Lord, this is what David learned so clearly. And that's why he was so different. Lord, what do I do? And that's that inquiry. Supplicating, thanking, worshiping. When's the worship time? You know, we have this time. Well, it's 20 minutes before the service. It is 24/7. We're in a realm of worship. That's why the Holy Spirit was given to us. So that now my spirit can commune with the Lord. In this way and that way. It's recovered, brothers and sisters, by listening. Prayer, I just mentioned it. We have no problem just, Lord, I need help. Do this. But we often have a hard time hearing the answer. And the answer comes from him speaking. He speaks. We don't just do a daily devotion. The minute we open that, if it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, Lord, there's only one reason I'm open this. Not to study for a Bible study, but to hear from you. To have communion. Then when we come into the Bible study, what we offer will be life. Not something we've gotten out of a commentary. The Lord spoke to me. I was listening to him. I was listening to him. And, is this working? Yes. I was listening to him. And he said this. Oh, the Lord loves that. All answers. Every spiritual problem we are facing is found in the Word as we have this communion with him. Is it this recovery of fellowship has to do with breaking habits? We have so formed a religious form, a habit in our lives, compartmentalized. Had my quiet time? Okay, I'll go out. And in 2 minutes, I'm arguing with my spouse. There's a disconnect there. Something's happened. That's not the intention of that time with the Lord. It's to walk out ready. What is the fruit of fellowship? God is satisfied. We come into that Sabbath rest. We're testimony of Jesus. There's that well of water welling up. There's rivers of living water flowing forth. Service happens, ministry, spontaneously. It's not contrived. It just comes out. There's a talking to people. I've just been talking with the Lord. I turn and I meet someone. It's my enemy. If I've been talking to my Lord, I love him. It's supernaturally natural. The first and the second commandment, they are automatic. I'm loving the Lord. Loving the Lord is you commune with who you love with. You fellowship with who you are in love with. And the first and the second commandment will be automatically accomplished. We come around the Lord's table and there will be just the fullness of the time. Each one has been talking with the Lord. They're not waiting, sitting back there, when is this thing going to get over? It's, I want to give to the Lord. I want to give back to him what he has been sharing with me through the week. This is how the body grows. No longer outside stimulants, the world basically, having to stimulate me. I'm filled with joy. As our dear brother Fred Slack at 105 September 2012 said, and I've shared this story with you before, when I asked him, I said, Fred, at 105, why does the Lord have you still here? And it was a nice room in a nursing home, a care room. Why does he have you? Your eating is no more fun. It's not a stimulant. Ministry, it's been 20 years since you spent your 45 years in India as a missionary, working with Bach Singh, that's all gone. Why does the Lord? And he answered just like this, to let you know how clear his mind was at 105, 60 days before the Lord took him. He said, now I have uninterrupted communion with the Lord every hour of the day. And when he said that, it was like a flash to me and planted really the seed to what I'm talking about this morning. This is what the Lord wants all the time. But even missionary activity can keep us. And we know, we've read enough missionary stories of burnout, how that has been true. Communion has been stopped. And there has been a burnout. And there is no going back. So this becomes the very thing on the Lord's heart. I'm going to stop there. Father, we're so thankful that you desire fellowship. Personally, and of course that'll lead to corporate fellowship, which is a continuing subject altogether. We thank you for amazingly calling us, choosing us to be one with you, abiding in you, and we abiding in you, not just a few hours a week, but continuously. We all know that when we are with you, the joy that fills our heart, the peace. But when we get separated because of something, Lord, and then it all falls apart. Lord, may we begin this week now and just ask you, Lord, to fill us in a more intimate way with yourself as we come with a penitent, contrite heart, saying, Lord, we want this. We want this closeness to you in the devil's world. We love you. We worship you this morning. Amen.